Today's Dafin, Masechet Yomah, brought to you right from that Yerushalayim, is Daf Chof Tet, and we are holding six lines down. Omer Rabbi Abo, this is where we got up to. So yesterday we learned that to understand the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said that they made a mistake about the moonrise and the sunrise, and we got into this whole problem, how could you possibly mistake a moonrise for a sunrise? Because according to Rebbe, the sun is always going to be mafzil. It's always going to spread around the entire horizon. And therefore, it shouldn't actually be confusable. So we answered, okay, it's talking about a cloudy day and that the clouds spread the light of the moon. But anyway, where is the mocker for Rebbe? Very often, the Gemara will do this. We'll look for a mocker in the Torah for something that someone says that makes it more powerful than just our observations. So my time in a Rebbe, where does Rebbe see that as part of the way the Torah looks at things, that the sunrise is distinguishable by being spread out like that? He learns it, surprisingly, from the ideas that are expressed in the Mizmar of Tehillim that refer to Esther Hamalka when she was on her way in to Achashverosh. So it says that Ruach HaKodesh was mistaleket mimena. The Gemara darshens this in detail in Masechet Megillah. And over there she says, Keli, Keli, lama azavtani. And this mizmor is called Lamnatzeach al Ayelet HaShachar. So the simple meaning, Ayelet HaShachar, is that we're calling the dawn an Ayala for some reason. So why would we call the Shachar Ayelet? To tell me ma ayala zukra neha mavtzilot lekan lekan, af shachar ze mavtzia lekan lekan. So the same way that we have an antelope or a hind, where the Rashi says, interestingly, that that's a little strange because the females don't have antlers. And therefore, this reference to ayala is just the name of the species, which is often referred to in terms of the female. However, there are those who point out of the Mefarshim that there are actually species of Ayala, the reindeer, for instance, where females have antlers. But nonetheless, I mean, there's a big difference between female antlers and male antlers. The male antlers are much more powerful. And remember that antlers grow in an unusual way, that they fall off, and the next year they grow on bigger. So each year they're a little larger and they have greater splits in them, moving in different directions. Anyway, I looked it up. By the way, any deer can grow antlers as a female if it has high testosterone levels. So you will find deer with antlers, but they're not, they're usually like much smaller than the male antlers. Okay, so that's Rashi's approach. So the Ayala is not necessarily the female, it's the species. But we relate to Shachar as an Ayala because in the same way that these antlers split and they keep splitting in all directions, so to the Shachar is Mavtziel Mikan Ulekan. Omer Abizir, but that doesn't explain why Esther is called an Ayala. I mean, this is all about Esther. Why would David bekovea the Shem Lamnatzeach al Ayelet HaShachar as a reference to Esther herself? So Lomanim Shoa Esther Layala, So don't ask me how the Gemara knows this, but an Ayala has a very tight vagina. And because of that, it has a very special attraction to its male because it's sort of like humans like virgins. So I guess male Ayals like that kind of thing. And therefore, it's the type of relationship that she had with Achashverosh also showed that he was like absolutely crazy over her. And that's what it's comparing her to over here, that she was able to maintain a level of sexual excitement with him that was extraordinary. Omer Avasi, Lamanim Shalai Esther LeShachar. That's okay, that's the Ayala part, but what about the Shachar part? So in what sense would she compare it to the Shachar, Lomalacha? Ma Shachar Sof Kol HaLaila Af Esther Sof Kol HaNisim. So this was the whole point of Purim, is that it brought an end to the ideas of Nes, and that was the period in which we weren't Zeicha to the Hashras HaShchina in a way that penetrated everything, and we could only notice it when there were Mamish Nisim. And that's why it's called the dawn, because it's the dawn of a new era. Wait a minute. Hanukkah takes place much later than that. Hanukkah takes place towards the end or the middle of the Beis HaMikdash. This was before even the second Beis HaMikdash was built. I mean, what about Hanukkah? No, we mean it's the last time that we're able to write a sefer about Nisim. So nitna lichtov kamrina. But not everybody agrees that Esther is nitna lichtov. We have a big machlokas in Masechet Megillah as to whether the book of Esther is considered to be one of the Kisvei HaKodesh. The nafkamina will be, is it mitami esayadayim? Because remember, we had back in Shabbos that out of the Yud Ches Dover, because of the problem of our need to try to protect the Kisvei HaKodesh from damage, and people would put Kisvei HaKodesh together with Truma, saying that both of them are Kodesh, and that would attract animals, and that would damage the Kisvei HaKodesh. So they were geizer that anybody that touches Kisvei HaKodesh, because their hands become tame, and therefore if they touch Truma, they'll pass on the Truma. That question would be, Nogea, is Esther really one of the Kisvei HaKodesh? I mean, obviously, min rabbanan, it's a chiyuv. You have to write it because you can only be yotzi or kriyas Esther if you are going to read it from the Megillah. So that Megillah at least is a rabbanan, but the shaila is it Kisvei HaKodesh d'oraisa? So if you hold an ikleman yomer Esther is nitna lichtov, so then I can understand that we would call it the shachar because it's the sof kol hanisim that are given lichtov. But if you hold Esther itself is lo nitna lichtov, so then how can you attribute this new era to Esther if in fact there was a giluy of nisim still on Hanukkah? So my iklamemar, that we would handle in a completely different way. That would be that we changed the meaning of shachar. Remember, it's a very interesting thing here, which is that the word shachar, or like shacharis, which we always think means morning, but it has a double meaning. It means davening, right? Boker ha-shacharecha. What does that mean? I will pray to you in the morning. So the shacharis is the shachar of the shachar, right? Fascinating. So if that's the case, we can look at the relationship to the word ayelet hashachar to be the ayelet of the tefillah of the tzadikas of Esther, which is in general an insight into the tefillah and shal tzadikim. And that would be the point that Rabbi Yomar bar Yefet makes when he understands shachar that way. So this is Kiri Omar, Rabbi Yomar bar Yefet, Omar Rabbi Elazar, Lama nimshalu tefillatan shal tzadikim ke ayelet. That's lo malacha ma ayalazo. Kozman shemigadelet karnei mafzilot, af tzadikim kozman shemarbim betfilat tfilatan nishmaat. So the power of the horns or the antlers becomes greater and greater the more that you put into it. And that is exactly how tfilat and tzadikim work. Many people, you know, they pray to God and they don't get what they want. So then, oh, that's it. What am I going to sit and pray for something that I don't get? But the tefillah shel tzadikim is that there's a constant increase of the presence of the tefillah and the implications of the tefillah and never, ever letting go of the tefillah, more and more investment. That's why it's similar to the ayola. So tzadikim goes man shemar ben betfilah. In the end, those tefillahs end up being poyel. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. Now, the way that we understand the Mishnah, at least the way that Rashi feels that the Gemara understands the Mishnah right now, is that the story of Pa'amachat Alam Or Alavana, V'dimu Sheheir Mizrach, V'shachatu Et HaTamid, V'otzi'u LeBeit HaSreifa, continues with the words V'horidu Kohen Gadol LeBeit HaTfilah, which is very problematic, because then that would mean that it all occurred on the same time. And then there's an obvious impossibility in the Mishnah, because if we're talking about Yom Kippur, the moon does not come up in the morning on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has a tendency to fall out on the 10th day of the month, and there is no moon in the morning coming up at the time of Alot HaShachar, the 10th of the month. The only time that the moon does that is at the very end of the month, whereas the moon, as you know, we get closer and closer to coming up right before the sun. So, okay, that could have been a mistake. You know, the 29th, I understand. But it can't happen on Yom Kippur. But on the other hand, if it didn't happen on Yom Kippur, what the heck was the Kohen Gadol doing there, bringing him to the Beis HaTevilah? Why would we bring a Kohen Gadol on the 29th of a month ever? So something is strange with this. And obviously, we're going to have to change the way that we understood the Mishnah. It can't be the same story. So let's take a look at that inside the Gemara. Shar Chatua Tatamid. Now, when did this happen, asked the Gemara? Ema. Ilema b'sha'ar yamot ha'shana. So what? This took place on like some day, sometime towards the end of a month, right? So then why did this there a Kohen Gadol there? So lo sagi lav Kohen Gadol. I mean, why would we bring a Kohen? Why are we talking about a Kohen Gadol? Ella, what are you going to tell me? We're talking about Yom Kippurim. The story couldn't have happened on Yom Kippurim because there is no Ma'or HaLavana at that time. So Ma'or HaLavana mi'ika. No. The Mishnah is talking about two completely different issues. The issue number one was, why did we come up with this idea of always saying Barak Barkai? Because once this mistake happened, so then we wanted to make sure that there was a standard for saying Barak Barkai. So we were koveya that concept all the time. Then, if we're talking about Yom Kippur, when they said Barak Barkai, which obviously was not because of the moon, but they said Barak Barkai as part of the full takana that we always do that. So then they were married the Kohen Gadol to the Beit HaTevilah and had nothing to do with the story of the moon that was mentioned in the previous sentences. I was just explaining why do we say Barak Barkai. It's interesting that the Rambam does not understand it that way in the Pirush HaMishnayos. It's very fascinating. The Rambam says that the Gemara was giving one clear-cut instance of where this kind of thing would happen. But apparently he holds we would not have been mitakein every single day of the month, including Yom Kippur, to say Barak Barkai. It was that these kind of mistakes could have happened on Yom Kippur also for whatever other reasons in which things were mistaken. So they were koveyed all the time. And that this could be a reference to a similar story on Yom Kippur. That's how he sees it. Okay, but anyway, Tony Avud Rabbi Avin, when we say that they had to take the Tumid and they had to burn it, it's not only going to be a question of what happens if the Tumid is Nishchat Balayla. The truth is that we'd have to do the same thing, even if we did Melikata Of, which is not exactly, because, I mean, we can't learn that out directly from Biyom Zivchacha. I mean, it's not considered to be Zivcha. But nonetheless, since all of the dinim of Malika are compared to the dinim of Shechita, so because of that, it would be exactly the same halacha. If you did a Malika Sa'of in the middle of the night, you'd have to burn it and bring the carbon again. But not only that, even komets of a mincha at night, which is also compared, remember, the kmitza for mincha is the equivalent of the shechita or of the behemo or the malika of the off. So therefore, it would have the same din, and the mincha would be pasul. Asks the Gemara, now hold on a minute over here. I understand the ola sa'of, once I have done the malika, it's very difficult to bring it back to life and start over again. So I understand why you would feel you need to burn and bring another bird, but I understand. The kmitza of a mincha, I mean, what's the big deal? If you were komets the mincha wrong, so it wasn't really a kmitza, so why can't you just put the komets back in and start over again? So, I mean, I understand Bishlama Olata of, look, might have a havi. I mean, once it's dead, it's dead. But the komets, why can't we just be Nahadra, put it back in, and then go and do the kmitza again, v'nahadra v'nikmitza, after sunrise, and then it will be kosher. Hu tani lava hu amar la, he had been the one to quote the Mishnah, and he was the one who actually... I shouldn't say the Mishnah, but the Braisa on the Mishnah that says that this would be the same case. And he was the one who explained it. This tells us that Kli Sharet or Mekachin Afilu Shelo Bizmano. So therefore, when you took that Kometz and it was now in, he was Mekadesh the Kometz, this is a problem. Because once I was Mekadesh the Kometz, I make the rest of the Mincha Shirayim. There is no way, that's the equivalent of killing the bird, essentially. There is no way to unmake the Kedusha Saguf on the Kometz, and now the Kometz and the Shirayim should be one thing. The Shirayim are now defined as Shirayim. So how can I redo the Kometz? Nothing to do. assuming that klisharis or mekachin afilo shelo bizmano, because this is the wrong time. So you say, okay, I mean, I thought a klisharis only works if it's in the correct context. So you see from here that even shelo bizmano, it would be possible. It would be mekadesh. Meitvei asks the Gemara from this fascinating halacha that we've spoken about before, and that is zehaklal. It says over there that in the Braita that we have a general rule for how to deal with being mekadesh and a klisharis, namely, kol hakarev bayom is kadosh bayom. So anything that can be brought only in the daytime, which would include, of course, just about everything, mincha and oaf and the dam and the k'teres and the actual levaina for the lechem aponim, all of those things can only be brought in the daytime. So those things are kadosh b'yom. If you put them into the klisharis, they will only get kedushas haguf in the daytime. But kol hakarev b'layla can be kadosh b'layla. Now there's some kind of confusion over here about the correct girsa over here. So according to the Bach, if you take a look in your Bach, kol hakarev b'layla kadosh bein b'yom bein b'layla, and then we don't have three separate things, which makes sense b'pashtus, because the whole idea over here is if you would be able to bring it at night, so then you can be mekadesh it even in the night. It doesn't mean you can only do it, the kiddush of the night. So let's say you have minchas nesachim, a minchas nesachim which you can bring at night, you can also be mekadesh at night. It doesn't mean you have to be mekadesh, I mean, you could be mekadesh at night. Okay, there are those, including Rashi elsewhere, who definitely does have these three things, that karev ben bayom ben balayla can be kaddish ben bayom ben balayla, which that would include the minchas nesachim. And then the kol hakarev balayla, Rashi explains, is a reference to the shemen that you put into the menorah, which you can only do at night, and that only become kaddish at night, which Tosfos doesn't like that approach because he tines it's not called karev. Why is that karev? Okay, I'm just cluing you in. The simple thing to do is to read it like the Bach and everything is fine. Okay, so, but if that's the case, then that means that something that can only be brought in the daytime, and that would be the mincha that we were referring to, can only be brought in the daytime. So then how can you say that it is going to be kadosh in the nighttime, and therefore you can't put it back in? Didn't it just say in the Braisa that it will not be kadosh in the nighttime? So then we're back to our question. So put it back in and redo it. Why does it say there in that Braita that it's possible? So katani miyat kol hakarev b'yom can only be kadosh b'yom. B'yom. B'yom means only b'yom. B'layla lo. So how do you explain this? So then when Avuah de Reb Avin told us this Braita, and he said that for some reason, if you would have done the Kaimetz HaMincha in the middle of the night, there's nothing to do. You'd have to end up throwing it out. Why? Put it back in. Says the Gemara, because maybe the point over here is that it's true that it's Eino Kodesh, but Eino Kodesh means it's Eino Kodesh Likarev, meaning you will not be able, having done the Kiddush wrong, you will not be able to use this Darga of Psul HaGuf to actually be able to be makrevit at the correct time. But we found this very often, that there's a darga of kedushas haguf that allows something to become nifsal betvul yom, or to be nifsal biyotze, or to be nifsal belina. So over here, once it was kadosh bekedushas haguf, it will now be nifsal belina, and therefore there's nothing to do in terms of putting it back in. Maybe that would be the point over here. So that would explain it, and that should be okay. It is kadosh li pasel. Masiv Rabbi Zera, not true. It can't mean that, because take a look at the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah we had in Menachas, where it says over there that if somebody was sideret alechem v'tabezicha, remember that the lechem and the bezicha levena have to be put on the shulchan on the Shabbos prior to the time that we're going to be bringing the bezichim up on the Mizbeach and taking the lechem off to be kosher to eat, right? How about if you didn't put them on Shabbos? So if they're not on for the full 7 days, then it's shelo bizmano, and it's going to be mechuser zman. So you will not be able to eat it on Shabbos. You're not ready to bring those bezichin because they haven't been on the shulchan for the full time. And here it says in the Mishnah that if you did the kohen, maybe you only got the lechem of bezichin late, but anyway, he only did it mitzray Shabbos. So if he did it mitzray Shabbos, if he would then be makter the bezichin on the next Shabbos, so then it would be possible because you have to have at least shivas yomim from one Shabbos to the next. And over here, if you put it on the night of Sunday, it wasn't shivas yomim. So what do you do in that matzah? Ketzad yaseh, yanichenu l'shabbat haba'ah. Don't bring it on the Mizbeach. Leave it another week till the next Shabbos. And then the next Shabbos, everything will be okay. Because afilu amdala shulchan yamim rabim, there's nothing wrong if the lechem stays on the table for 13 days. What's the difference? By the time that it gets to Shabbos afterwards, it doesn't say anywhere it can only be 7 days. That would be like having something on the Mizbeach. As long as it's on the top of the Mizbeach, it doesn't really matter how long it stays there. So then it should be okay. Ein bekach klum. Now, the question is, one second, why would that be true? Because if you're telling me that the lechem actually does become kodesh, shelo bizmano, lehipasel, so then we've got a problem. Because the problem should be, if klisharetz are mekachim shelo bizmano lehipasel, it's not a problem of lina, you're right, but it should be a problem of sidur shelo bizmano. This is how Rashi understands the sugya. So therefore, we've got a new problem. If it really works, then that means we never did the sidur halachim correctly. And the Torah said to be mesadur halachim in this way. So bishlama, if you're going to tell me that, okay, so then it'll automatically be mesudr at the correct time because the shulchan will not have any impact on it until the correct time. I understand. But you're claiming that the shulchan will have impact on it from before, the moment that I put it on wrongly. So how am I going to fix that? Once it becomes kadosh wrongly, even if it's only lipasel, where is the correct sidur halachim? I don't get it.
Rabbi, last time Rabbi preferred taking out the word psula.
Yeah, because Rashi takes out psula. I mean, the reason that Rashi takes out psula, Rashi says, I don't believe we should be goris psula. Because in the end, we're going to see to talk about it now, where Barnea brings it up at the wrong time, is a bad move. Because it's based on our understanding of the sugya a little bit later. But Rabbi Barnea always likes to make sure that he catches me doing something I didn't do last time. So he never gives me an opportunity to do things at the right time. You'll notice that there's a pattern. So I'm not allowed to finish things. I don't know what he's pointing at. The fact that Rashi brings it now is because Rashi's talking about
it. No, it's marked. I marked it because Rebbe said take it out. So
okay, but I didn't say take it out at this moment. I said take it out at the end. How do you know?
I don't, but it calls for a drink.
Okay, so it does. L'chaim, l'chaim, where's yours? Okay, so we'll see in a moment. We'll see in a moment why Rashi prefers to take it out. Okay, but right now, we can just understand the sugya as it is. So how do you explain this? So we should say that it should be kodesh and it should become posel. Omar, Rova, Manda Kamosiv, Shapra Kamosiv. Look, this is a great question. But what do you want to do with the question? You want to throw out what it was that Avuah D'Rabavin said? I mean, Avuah D'Rabavin did not say his own idea. And he didn't just quote it from some Amora. It was a Braita. So no matter what, we've got a problem. We can't say Tiyufta, so what are we going to say? I mean, so let's figure out why there's no contradiction between these two in Yonim. So Mandika Motiv, Shapraka Motiv, yeah, good question. No, but Avuah D'Rabavin, Nami Matnita Ka'amah. So he obviously has got an approach to where there's, why is there no contradiction? I will tell you why there's no contradiction. Because there is a big difference between the Kiddush Shelo Bizmano working, where it's the night before the day that it's meant to work, as opposed to where it's five nights or six nights, or in this case, seven nights before the day. That's not the same thing, my friends. That's because Lila, the night of that day that follows, the night is always the introduction to that day in all of our Zmani. So therefore, even though the Torah passes it while it's done during the night time, but the time of the night, as opposed to the night time, is part of that following day. Therefore, it's not considered to be mechusar time, mechusar zman. It's not mechusar zman. So if it's not mechusar zman, therefore the kedusha sakli works. But if it's the wrong day, and in this case where it was like from Saturday night till the next Shabbos, is awful number of days that it's going to be mechusar zman, of course the kiddush doesn't work when it's mechusar zman totally. That's the difference. So therefore, Laila ain't mechusar zman, but Yom, a different day, is of course a different time. And therefore it would be mechusar zman. Okay, so fine. I understand what you're saying. But it works up until the night before. What's going to happen over here? You're going to put it, you're telling me. What's the problem? Leave it on the table, right? Leave it on the table. And then, and when it comes the Shabbos after, which is 13 days later, then it's going to be okay. But Friday night, it's going to be wrecked. Why? Because Lila's not because there's man. So the Friday night of that Shabbos, it's now going to become Kaddish at the wrong time. And therefore, it should be Nifsa because of that psul. So what are you going to do? Omer Ravina, you know what? The Kohen will have to go in, take it off on Friday before the night, and then put it back on again by the next morning. That must be what happens. That way it doesn't become a Kodesh Lo Bizmano. Rav Ashi says, no. You don't have to do that. Afilu Tema B'Shelo Kodem Vasilko. Look. In order for the kli to be makadish something, somebody's got to put it there, okay? Who put it there? The guy who put it there on Mitzray Shabbos, you said, was not makadish the lechem, right? Because Lila's mechus zman. So it's as if he put it in the fridge. It has nothing to do with the shulchan. So now you're saying, okay, but it's there Friday night. So how come it doesn't become makadish on Friday night? Because nobody put it there to be makadish. And you require an act of kiddush. So you're saying, but it's there, okay. And if a monkey brought it in, so now it's going to become kiddush because the monkey happened to have picked up the lechem and put it on the shulchan instead of in the refrigerator. A monkey doesn't make things. That's not called an act of kiddush. That's the point. So since over here at that time he put it on, it's nasik emoshe sidro hakof. So it's as if a monkey put it on, and therefore it's only going to be kiddush when the context cries out, time for kiddush, and therefore at that point, the shulchan will be mekadesh. But to say that something would be mekadesh shelo bizmano, when it was done by a monkey, it just happens to be there. It was a completely passive event. Therefore, there is no such need as taking it off. Just leave it there, and everything will be fine. And that's exactly how the Rambam understands this sugya. That in this case, now Rashi, when he took out the word psula, did not explain the shita that way. Rashi says, I don't like the word psula, because psula over there is mashman that the lechem is pasul, and the way that the Gemara comes out is that you can leave the lechem there as long as you're going to be putting it back on and be mesader it. So why should it say it's pasul? It isn't pasul. You can say it's not kosher, but it isn't pasul yet. Okay. That's why Rashi takes it out. Now, beautifully, the Rambam says, and it's pretty clear, it's actually, there's even an Igros Meisha that explains, they have to bring this up in the context of a tshuva. But there's a big Chazon Ish on it also that explains, like, over many pages, so what is the difference. But I think it's pretty clear when you read the sugya, what's going on. The whole idea of Kiddush Kli is a contextual issue. Because, you see, if it weren't a contextual issue, think for a moment. Why would we be talking about only if you took out the kemetz and you put, now you were mekadesh the kemetz? I don't understand. The mincha was in a kadosh kli, right? When you took the kemetz out. So why are we talking about the kemetz? It's the mincha is pasul because it was pasul belina. If you're going to tell me that it's kaddishly kaddish, even for psul on the kometz, then the whole mincha was posul. Why are we talking about this problem, this new problem of the kometz? And then when we flip, we say, well, there's a new problem because the kometz was lina on the kometz. Understand, the mincha's kaput was kaddish before in the middle of the night. So it's obvious that the point over here is, it's amazing how many people are confused by that, like all the people that discuss the sugya. It's really very straightforward. You do not create a kiddush kli by virtue of something being in the kli at the right time. That's a dover pashut. There needs to be something that's done to create the kiddush. So if it's this man for the kiddush and it's there, so fine, that is what the kli is meant to do, and it does it. If you want to get the kli to do something, then you have to do something with it. So, but you can only do something with it if it's contextually the correct kli for this moment. So if it would be Mechusar's man in a different day, you're not doing anything. You're basically a monkey. Okay, so put that all together, and it comes out that we've got so many different issues here. And we initially begin with the problem of creating Shirayim by this kometz. Then we move on to the problem of the kometz of the Mincha becoming Pasul Belina. Then we move on to the problem of the Seder Alechem being puzzled because it was done at the wrong time, even though it will not be Nifsa Belina. It was a whole new idea. So then the Kometz could have been puzzled for being done at the wrong time. So then we make the distinction between Laila Lab Mechusar Zman, which is a beautiful and subtle distinction. Night time is not the same as the time of night. And that is the whole point of the difference between Zman and the difference of the night darkness. There's two different issues. Fine, I understand. So then we get into the question of the fact that it had to have been put on for the intent, didn't it? No, it didn't. That's only if you were doing something which is not its natural function. But the moment that it's its natural function in the daytime, then of course it will be Mekadosh Lechem. That's what the Rambam holds. Leave it there. Don't take it off. There's no need for a new Kiddush. And when the Mishnah says in Menachos, just leave it till the next week, it means exactly what it says. Leave it to the next week. No problemo. Fine. So therefore, afilu tema b'shalo kodem v'silko, kivan shesidro shalo k'mitzvato, naaseh k'mo shesidro hakov.